It's not that, not as strong now as it was.
Here we go. Morning. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here this morning. We have a couple of announcements. First of all, we have prayer meeting on Wednesdays, the evening at 7 o'clock. We encourage you to, we do it all through Zoom. So anybody can join. Just go to our website and hit prayer meeting, and here we are. So it's awesome to be able to pray for each other. We have gleaners on Wednesday mornings. At 11 o'clock, be here a little before 11 or you might miss the food. But they have a great Friday. They get it every Wednesday, so it's a good outreach. And also, if you know somebody that is needing food, be sure and get a call to Sherry in our worship folder why we have Sherry's number, so you can get the information if you need it. And then we have a community potluck. We just had one this last Thursday. It was great in the evening. So the next one is going to be at noontime. And I think because it's so close to Thanksgiving, I think she said it was going to be soups and sandwiches. So that'll be a fun one. But we had great turnout. I thought we had a good turnout. It was a lot of fun. It was fun meeting new people that came. So that was a good thing. Yes. Yeah, we missed you. And then, other than that, also, we got the voter's guide from the Family Council, and I love this. It just is a great thing to go by when you're deciding what to vote, and I got my ballot this week. So, it's back on the worship folder, on the welcome bench back there. So, be sure and grab one, because it really helps when you're trying to figure out how to vote. And today's installation, and it's an installation. We're so excited. Oh. She's got a crown because I keep saying a coronation in it. But we're so thankful, 3:30. And so I encourage everybody to be sure and come. It'll be a great time. Great time to celebrate. So, all righty. So with that, this is also Pastor Appreciation Month, so we are appreciating our pastor all month. So we are thankful to have her here. And so each Sunday, we're having a different scripture. So if you want to join me, we're going to read Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I am so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up to the present. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears.
Amen. Amen to that. We are so thankful for pastors. Also, we have our shoeboxes, and we started having some back there. I encourage you to take some shoeboxes, and we'll collect them on Sunday, November 20th. We usually have a November 20th, so we have a thing. We pray over them. It's such a good thing to do, and I am so excited every year for it. It's a great organization, and it's what a great way to get to show God's love. So I encourage you to take some shoeboxes. And I think she has a little video.
An outreach event basically on the water, and I was excited going to the floating village. I wondered how churches could be ministering in that place that is remote.
Hello.
All the children had come to the event with their canoe. We were in the boat, and as we were moving around, we started singing. And there was that old man in his canoe that started singing and dancing with us. That old man was celebrating God with us. Before we get to the village, there was this huge canoe with all these children that were singing. They were so joyful, singing and declaring the power of God. And I remember they had one song that they were like, they were shooting the devil. They are happy singing to the glory of God, happy and trusting that they now have power against the spirit, the evil that they have grown up in. Gospel has reached these people, these children in this area. Those children who received the box initially, they were in the boat singing to the glory of God. And actually, they were preparing all that for the new children that are out of the church to come to the knowledge of Christ as well. That's wonderful. I can see that multiplication has started in that church. We get into that church and we have more than 200 children sitting and waiting to receive the gift boxes. When the gift boxes were revealed, you could see how happy they were. They all started shouting, though they haven't yet seen the items in the gift boxes. When we opened up the boxes, there was so much joy. You can see them shouting, crying, jumping. Some will grab the item and wave it and tell the others, look at what I have. And seeing them carrying their gift boxes, going back to the canoe, and then riding away with joy, with excitement, because they are in such a hurry to go back home and have time to actually enjoy the gift boxes that they received. The impact of Operation Christmas Child in this country is that volunteers are ready to go any place to just deliver the gift boxes and then share the gospel. We have seen them crossing the lake to carry the gift boxes wherever that is needed. And they are ready to go beyond any limitation just to ensure that the gospel is preached, that children are discipled, and that multiplication of the gospel is happening.
Isn't it fun to see that? Those kids with a joy, just excite. It is good news, isn't it, Dawson? Praise the Lord. Oh, Landon. Oh, it was Landon, not Dawson.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We're just so joyous to be able to celebrate Pastor Teresa. And most of all, we're just joyous to just hear the good news that she had, that you've put on her heart to share today, that we get to sing praises to you, that we just get to come and pray and worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this building that we have, that we can come in freedom and just come and praise your name. Be with us today, Lord. Open our hearts to learn what you want us to learn, Lord. And we just give you praise in everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, shall we stand? We're going to go to a call to worship. And today it's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And this is through the message of the message. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Mm. Amen. Amen to God's word. All right.
A land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that follow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. All right. This will speak to you.
Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord,
standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, nor my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, nor my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the stranger, not my neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the stranger, not my neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he is.
Sufficient for me.
and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Turn from their sins they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in pain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. Millions have come. There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Praise God, you may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody who is not normally here on Sunday, you are welcome too. Because if I look at you and I look in your eyes, I see the Holy Spirit there and I know you are church. Praise God for you here. Let us take our tithes and offering and give back just a portion of what He has blessed us with. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have given us. Homes, cars, good neighbors, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all the finances to make these things occur and relationships happen. Amen.
praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
And as I like to say, now the most important part. Time to share prayer requests and praises and be family together. So, praise. Teresa, this afternoon. Sorry, had to be number one. Yeah, the coronation of, I mean, thank you. Anybody have a praise or prayer request they'd like to share with the family today? Jeremy. Oh. Okay. So a friend from work. Say again. Chisholm is the name. A friend from work, John Chisholm, passed away. Is that what I'm putting together? Or just the name Chisholm? Okay, Chisholm. So prayer for Chisholm's family, obviously. Anybody else? So prayer request, praise at the same time. Dan Kroom, who's not able to be here battling cancer, had a doctor's appointment, and his cancer numbers are getting better. So prayer to continue battling, praise for them to improve. They have improved. Absolutely. Yes. Hallelujah. I've been there, yes. So praise for son and daughter-in-law, correct? Getting over COVID, or son-in-law and daughter. Okay, I had it backwards, sorry. Okay. Amen. Amen. So prayer for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit over us, individually, collectively. Because as my sister said, the field and the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Lord, give us strength to be the workers. I'd like to share a prayer request for that same former youth kid when I was a youth pastor here, called again this week from jail. And shared what is going on, and just continued prayer for this former youth kid. Right now, the kid wants to be anonymous, and that's okay. But they want, I'll say they want prayer. he or she wants prayer. So, yeah, prayer to continue making good choices. Debbie. No, I haven't checked. Thank you. I don't know if you guys know, but I always try to post in our Facebook for people to share prayer requests there. And mine's not updating. So you said that Jim Nichols is starting more infusions Thursday. So prayer for Jim and Vicky, obviously, fighting. Say that again. Jim's not having a great day today. Okay, so continue lifting up our brother and sister, Jim and Vicky Nichols, with Jim's cancer fight. Yes. So Julie is asking for prayer for families with children that have walked away from the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. I went to college and I strayed, but thank God he kept a hold of me. Thank God he gave me parents that put roots and foundations deep when I was young. Amen. Isn't that the proverb? Train them up when they are young, and what is right when they are young, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And that's why I'm so thankful to the Sunday school teachers here that are doing the children's church, because I can't do it alone. Fred. Okay, Claire. Claire has a molar coming in a little bit crooked. It could just be coming in. Yeah. But it's kind of bugging her cheek. So she's asking for prayer for it to come in straight. Yes, Fred. Prayer for Carolyn Marble, who is home sick right now. And thank God it's not COVID so far, at least not tested COVID. So I'll be a little selfish and say that's mom for me. So pray for my mom. Yeah. Debbie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Debbie is praising the Lord for the closing and the final sale and everything going through on her previous home out here in Keels Creek. All through, and funding is complete, and she no longer has two house payments, and she's just in her new home in town over by the high school. I haven't gone over and just visited intentionally, but I did unintentionally one morning. So it's a nice, cozy little place. Go over and say hi. God has been good. Yeah. Anybody else? Oh, Rhonda. So praise that your dad's feeling better physically, prayer for his mental decline, and then Rhonda, you also want prayer requests for a co-worker's father with lupus, husband with lupus. Okay, I have a lupus patient at home, so I understand. I want to lift up my father-in-law too. He took another fall this last week. He forgot to lock the wheels on his locker and went headfirst over two steps off our front porch onto the driveway. and has some abrasions on his, this is his left side. We were going to a routine appointment for him, and instead we had an ER trip. But the CT showed that there was no new hemorrhaging in his brain from that. And since he's on warfarin, that was like a big red flag for me. So we dodged a bullet. Then he retired a guardian angel, and we have a new one, and we're continuing on. So, yeah. Debbie. So Debbie's lifting up a praise for another dog in the house, so Fiona isn't alone, and prayer that that works out, because and Debbie's also lifting up a praise for somebody who will come and check on the dog on the day she's got to be gone. Yeah. He provides everything, doesn't he? Even when we don't see it coming and we don't know it was there. Yeah. That's the best part right there. Yeah. Anyone else? So Linda wants us to lift up Libby with another iron infusion coming up, possibly. And an endoscopy. So, Lord, give wisdom to the people looking at her to figure out what is going on and return her to health. Absolutely. Anybody else? All right, let's go together as a family. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Father. Almighty God, come. Come and inhabit your house, not this building, but our hearts. Come. Give us peace. Give us courage. As you told Joshua 9 times, be strong. Lord, there is much going on in our lives that we need prayer for, many requests and courage and your peace and assurance that we will get through them. And a praise, Lord, on a great journey that a sister has gone through with houses and selling and buying and knowing that what a great testimony you have wrought for your providence that you give to each of us, not just her. Holy Spirit, come, guide our hearts. Live in us, be in us, everywhere, all the time. Bring your power that surpasses all the problems of this world into our lives. We lift up my mom and that she's at home not feeling well today. Lord, we lift up 2 people with lupus, Lord, a co-worker's husband for Rhonda and my father-in-law. Lord, that you reach into their bodies and bring stability and peace. Lord, for their caregivers, for all of us that are caregivers right now, give us more energy than we normally might have. Give us more insight and love than we normally might have. Lord, let us be your hands, your feet, your lips, your words, your very hugs. Lord, we lift up all the children. Father God, a request was made from a heart that cares deeply for children. But Lord, for all of those who have walked away, knock on the doors of their heart, Holy Spirit. And if the door cracks open, let your love flood in. For you are always there, always ready to restore, forgive, and renew. Thank you for that in our lives, in the lives of this church, and in the providence of a new pastor. Lord, thank you for your many blessings you bestow, jobs and finances, opportunities to retire and serve. You bring just what we need, just when we need it, and even more that we don't see. Lord, thank you for your angels of mercy attending to our path, making it straight, the way before us, that we can live in righteousness and have you make us more so in our daily walk. Lord, we lift up this nation to you. We lift up the leaders to you. We lift up their hearts and their minds to you as we do our own. And we ask, Holy Spirit, bring revival. Bring revival to this land. Bring revival to our hearts and minds. Bring revival to the political landscape. Bring revival to this union. Bring revival to everyone to base our judgments upon each other, upon character, and who you are in our lives and how you define us as worthy because of your sacrifice. Lord, forgive us this last week, our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings. Forgive me when I yelled at my father-in-law in anger. Lord, forgive us and restore a right spirit in each one of us today. Thank you, Lord, for this house of worship. Thank you for this place of refuge. Thank you that we can walk in here and immediately feel your peace and love. And let us not fail to take that with us as we walk out the door and be your church to this community. Amen. All right, kids, come on up. Thank you to those stepping in for children's church today. My mom was supposed to do it, but here comes the little kid. Dear Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the future of your kingdom in their hearts. Watch over them and protect them. Stay deeply rooted inside them for the moments we cannot be with them. And Lord, bless those who would teach them about you 10 times over, that the glory for that be to you and your kingdom ongoing into the future. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this day. Welcome those who are joining us as our guests today. Lord bless you and thank you for being here with us. And thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's closing our doors for us so we can minimize noise. And today we're going to talk about prayer. Prayer is one of my favorite things. And you may not have noticed this yet about me. So we're going to start another prayer group because I really like doing intercessory prayer. So on Wednesday nights, we pray, but I'm giving you notice now to get ready. Get ready for more prayer because that's how God works in us and that's how he uses us to change the world around us. Amen. So we're going to talk about the posture of prayer today. And follow along with me in whichever translation you prefer. I'm actually sharing from the New Living Translation today. Luke, we're still in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18. There's two parables in 18. So the first one is the parable of the persistent widow. Luke 18. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" Listen to what Jesus says. "I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." "But," Jesus asks, "when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" The second parable is about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness, and they scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to the heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." This is Jesus speaking. "I tell you, this sinner," not the Pharisee, "returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Amen to the word of the Lord. Fascinating, fascinating. Remember, we talked about this before. That divine reversal. Those who exalt themselves, you're going to be down. But if you're lowly and humble, God's going to raise you up. So he ends telling them that, repeating that to them again. And for some reason, Luke actually put these two parables about prayer back to back. You know, that's how they appears in our text. We find three examples of prayers here, right? But only two are actually answered. There's one prayer that is really not a prayer of request. It's just like a declaration to God. But the two get answered. And so we want to talk about those postures of prayers. And I've labeled them three P's: persistent, pious, and penitent. Those are the postures of prayer we see in this passage of Scripture. So now let's see what we can glean from each of those examples. The first parable is interesting because it actually changes the lesson at the moment. So it begins as a lesson praying and about not giving up. Remember, because this is what Jesus says to them: when you pray, don't give up. But then as he continues to talk, it turns into a story about justice. And then at the end, Jesus is posing this question: how many of you will be found faithful when I return? So he takes them through three kind of lessons there, but saying in the context of prayer. The story is about a woman who keeps going back to court to plead her case. Now, this is curious. The judge himself, who's supposed to actually care, is not caring. It describes the judge as being uncaring, unjust. Hello, if I'm going to the courthouse, that's if I find justice nowhere else, it's supposed to happen in the court, right? Not so. He's like, I don't care about y'all. He has no respect of persons. And he even describes himself as not caring about what God thinks. Wow. Now, Jesus doesn't say how many times this poor woman has come before the judge, but it was clearly one too many times, right? Because the judge finally decides to give in and rule in her favor. So he actually decides to rule on the case and to do it justly. And so he even admits that he's been worn down by her persistence. Now, what's curious is that Jesus quickly draws the comparison between the judge and God. Now, when I was reading that, I was thinking, okay, wait, so are you saying that I can actually wear God out? You know, and then he'll finally give me what I want? Oh, watch out, Sister Susie. If I just keep on asking and praying, what? So now that made me pause and go, wait, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. So let's pause for a moment and think about that. By show of hands, how many of us have prayed for something at least twice? You know, you prayed for it once and then you came back. Yeah, me too. What about at least five times on the same subject? Okay, all the hands, okay. What about over 10 times? Have you prayed over 10 times on any one gift? Oh, wow, I haven't even got hands up in the balcony. Ain't that something? Now, so if God is like that judge, then we should have worn him out by now, don't you think? Or is 10 times not enough? I mean, what's happening right now? Seems like I should have won the Mega Millions by now, Sister Susie. But I digress. Yeah, because I think about that now. Shouldn't I have some money in my purse by the time I get back to my pew? Because I've asked Jesus to bless me like that. But somebody told me, though, Sister Roy, that you do have to buy the tickets in order to win. So maybe that might be part of the problem. I don't know. So where were we? Oh, yeah. Talking about wearing God out. Can we actually wear God out? The judge declares his exacerbation with that woman who just won't stop coming back to his courtroom. And he's just looking up at her. Oh, here she comes again. Didn't I decide on her case last week? And the week before that? And the week before that? And here she is again. Somehow, I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us about God. We actually do not need to return with our petitions time after time after time, thinking that he's not listening and that he isn't caring about us. Because that's why she kept coming. This judge don't care. He's not actually doing his job. So that's why she kept coming. So God is not like that judge. No, you don't need to worry him about the things that are important in your life because he already knows about them. And so we can't actually wear him out when we come to God because he's a good God. He's a good God. He actually is listening and he actually does care. So what Jesus is teaching us is to be like the woman, persistent in our petitions to God. Why? Because as Jesus argues, God is more than that judge. He's a righteous judge. He is perfect. And what he's doing when he's comparing him to the judge, he's saying, now, if this imperfect, self-centered, non-God-fearing judge can muster up a just decision, then you should know for sure that the holy, compassionate, just, and righteous God who you serve will do way better. So we don't have to come and keep worrying God because we doubt he is actually listening to us. It may feel like that, Sister Linda, because that's just our reality. Sometimes I think, now, again, see this hand on my head? That's exactly what I do. Now, Jesus, what you doing? What you doing? Have I not prayed about this several times already? He cares. He knows. He understands. He is listening. Always be reminded that he is always at work. Even when we've prayed for something over 10 times, 20 times, 70 times, 100 times, however the number goes, he actually cares. And he's working things out. That's what the Holy Word of God says. He actually does care about us. So he's not like that judge who doesn't care and sees you coming and going like, ugh, here she comes again. What's she want today? That's not how our God is. And so I would argue that persistence doesn't mean nagging God until he answers, rather the persistence of a pure heart. So let me explain that. Pure in heart means we don't waver and change our minds like the wind and the weather. Now, Portland weather, I don't know what happened out here, but Portland weather has been funny this week. It was raining sometimes, and then the sun would come out, and then it rained the day yesterday and the day before, and now today, yeah, dry. And I know, I do believe that, Brother Fred. Brother Fred said, it's doing that just for your installation. Amen. I should put on my little crown that y'all made me. Amen. Because God is good to us. But what he's saying, what Jesus is saying, don't be fickle like the weather. It's going to change. The wind's going to come. It's going to go. But don't be like that when it comes to God. When you come before God, be pure in heart. Have your mind made up. Now, you may remember Jesus teaching about this on the Mount in Matthew 5 is where he says, blessed are the pure in heart. And what does he say? For they shall see God. What is he saying there? He's saying those people who have made up their minds, Sister Colleen, they are going to reap their just reward. They're going to see God in the end when Jesus returns and takes the church with him, but also in their life. If you align yourself with the word of God, if you put on the armor of God, you are going to see God in your life. He's going to show up. He's going to provide. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to do the things, as Pastor Ivan was saying earlier, that you're not even aware of. But when you're pure in heart, you're going to see God move. So I like to challenge people who always want to preach that sermon that, you know, you're on your way to hell and the only way to get to heaven is believe in God now because he's going to save us in the end. That's great. And it's true. It's totally true. But understand this, God is not just the God of our future. He's the God of right here, right now. Understand? And so this is what he's saying. Be pure in heart so that you can see your God in your daily life, providing for you, guiding you, protecting you, blessing you. Pure in heart doesn't mean pure from sin. Again, I grew up in the church and I've heard people preach that, you know, free from sin. That's not all of what purity means, especially pure in heart. It means being dedicated to the cause, not going to change your mind once you come to know God, right? Because once you know God, you don't go back to the world. We said that prayer for the children who were raised in church, but now they're just kind of living like they don't know God. The God in them will bring them back. He really will. Because when you really know God, Sister Susie, it doesn't matter what's happening, you'll always feel him tugging at you. Come on, baby. Come on back. I'm going a little too far now. Come on back. And sometimes you will land up in a literal jail cell. I think those are the times, again, when God, hello, I need your attention. And he has to get our attention. And some people, it's not a jail cell. Some people, it's a hospital bed. Now, see, I told you to take care of your body. Come on now, work with me. And some people have been taking care of their bodies. Our bodies fail. And so, again, you've heard me say this before. It's not always about you. Okay, Pastor Julie, it's not about you. We want to make it about us. But God is saying, I'm using you to reach all these other peoples. See, because they don't know who I am. So we're sitting there. I just don't understand why I got to be sick. And my children are doing this. And I lost my job. And, you know, you just want to cry about all the things. And what we should do, I mean, it's true. Yes, say to Jesus. Now, see, Lord, this is a lot. This is a lot, Jesus, that's going on. And show me. Who do I need to witness to? Give me the right words, Lord God. So when I'm sitting in my doctor's appointment, sad that I have to be there, let me be a witness to somebody. Let me smile at that person who needs to see someone, smile and acknowledge their existence. I can't tell you the number of times I've walked by people and they just have their countenances so fallen. And I'll just say, hey, good morning. Welcome. How are you? And then their face lights up as if I've given them $1 million, like I won the Mega Millions and just randomly going around giving people money. They just smile and they brighten up. Why? Because they needed someone just to give them some love. Show them compassion. So while you are in the midst of your life, remember that God wants to use you no matter your situation. Shine your light. Be pure in heart. So that when you feel discouraged like this, there's too many things, Jesus, too many things. I said that this week at work, Lord, now come on, it's too many things. He hears that prayer and he says, I got you, baby girl. Now I want you to go speak a word to so-and-so because they really have no hope. I heard Sister Mariah say that earlier. Some people they have no hope. This is why we have to live in the world and be around those who do not know God. If we isolate ourselves and only live amongst ourselves, how is the rest of the world going to get to know who God is? We have to be out there with the rest, shining our lights for his glory. That's what he wants us to do. Pure in heart, being dedicated to the cause, not returning to the world and to our selfish ways, once we acknowledge God as our God and our Savior. James also speaks of this. If you go to the book of James, chapter 1, I love the book of James. One, it's short, but it's also full of wisdom. You know, like when you do Isaiah, Jeremiah, it's like, ooh, this is a long book, right? But James is good because it's short, but it's powerful. So James says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, is the description he uses there. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Listen to what he says. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So you see, James is saying, you want your prayer answered? Trust in the Lord God that you serve. Don't trust in the people around you. It's not in them. They don't have the answer. But God himself. God will use the people around us to answer, but it's not the people themselves. Your loyalty should be to God, not divided. And he says, when you ask for wisdom, God's not going to withhold it. He's actually going to give it to you. So having a posture of persistence is how we move God's heart. He sees we are dedicated to him and he and his will, and thus he will answer, right? Because we're dedicated to him, we're dedicated to doing what he wants us to be doing, what he has designed us to be, right? In his image, he'll answer us. So now, notice in the parable, the woman is seeking justice. And in James, he advises that we seek wisdom. These are things God will give. Why? Because they align with his will. That's the other part of us praying. Are we asking for things that align with God's will? So that probably might be why my winning the Mega Millions hasn't been answered. Because God knows, he knows my heart. Maybe I won't trust him anymore, or maybe trust him a little bit and like my money more. He knows. Will I use it for his glory? When we ask God for things, we should be wanting those things that are aligned with his will and can be used for his glory. Now, that's not to say I won't go and do some great works with the money. Okay, Sister Colleen, I'm just saying. But that's like, why am I praying that? Why? Why do I need to be praying that when there's so many other things that God cares about? Because he already told us, I'm going to provide all the other things. Just follow me and I'm going to give you the food that you need. I'm going to give you the clothes that you need to wear. I'm going to put a roof over your head. I'm going to take care of those things. So stop worrying about those things and focus, baby girl, focus. What have I called you to do? So he says that to me. Hopefully, you know, you already learned that lesson, right? Y'all already know that. But just for those who might need to be reminded, God's going to take care of those things. And so Jesus teaches us also about what we should be seeking God for if we want him to fulfill our requests. And so the final lesson of the parable of the persistent woman speaks again to our character. The woman was persistent. And this is where it's very fascinating to me, because Jesus poses that question. How many faithful ones will he find when he returns for his church? This is another aspect of being persistent. Jesus knows the hearts of humans. Too often, we prioritize ourselves over the will of God. And this limits the building of kingdom. He says, come on, stop focusing on yourself. Stop looking for the accolades. Stop trying to do all the things that prove who you are as a human being. And look to me. Look to me. I need you to be found faithful when I return. Now, some of us, again, we've talked about this before too. Some of us may already be gone to glory, right? So, when he finds us, it might be on our deathbed, but if we are here, will he find us still faithful? Will he find you faithful on your deathbed? Will he find you faithful in your last moments? My guess is yes. Because even though we're not perfect, we still believe. And we're doing things that glorify God. So he says that's just as a reminder. Be faithful to what I've called you to do. Don't limit how God can use you because you're focusing on yourself. Now let's go to the second parable. The second parable also deals with the posture of prayer. And we see two men at the temple praying. The Pharisee takes a pious stance. That's the second P. The woman was persistent. This Pharisee is pious. And then we have the tax collector who is penitent. And it's not a coincidence that Jesus uses a Pharisee for the pious example. He knew that the Pharisees, you remember how they've been clashing throughout his ministry, because the Pharisees saw themselves as righteous. They declared, we are the righteous ones. We are the ones who are holy. And so he heard this man's prayer for an example. They were God's best. That's how they viewed themselves. And this is why they did what they did, to go and tell other people, this is what it means to live holy for God. So Jesus pokes fun at them by making their character the overly pious one in his parable, who just has to tell God, because he's really not making a request. It's fascinating. So just so you know, prayers don't just consist of our request to God. It's a conversation with God, right? We should be listening to God as well as talking to him and asking for things, but also just praising him and thanking him. But here, this Pharisee doesn't even like make a formal request. He's just telling God how good he is. So he wraps his pride in a fake prayer of appreciation. I mean, go back and look at the text. It's like, is he praying for forget? What is he doing right now? He's telling God how good he is. He's grateful that he's not like those sinners, like those other people. Fascinating. Because he's using prayer to impress God. What? Who does that? Why? Note to self. God sees everything, so we don't need to try to impress him with our prayers of self-righteousness. We'd actually be doing better to confess our sin and ask for strength and desire to do better. Right? That's what prayer should really be consisting of, because He's been with us all week. He ain't missed nothing. Now, when I watch a TV show, Sister Donna, sometimes, I'm glad I can do the reverse and put, like, because I don't miss something, because I'm walking around my house, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm doing whatever, but the TV's on. So then I come back and I'm like, oh, wait, I missed something. Can I rewind this? And I'll rewind it and go, oh, now it makes sense. God doesn't need to do that, Sister Rhonda. He doesn't go, oh, I don't miss something. Crucial 10 minutes in Rhonda's life. Let me rewind that real quick. He's not doing that. He's there all along. So we don't need to come to him with prayers about how good we are. I went and I blessed Brother Paul with dinner and I took it over to his house. God is like, baby girl, really? Because I was there. What we doing right now? What we doing? You don't need to try to impress him. Ask for forgiveness when we sin to do better. God, you know, I missed the mark this time. I really meant to go and pray with Brother Paul, but just time ran out. Help me to do better, right? And Jesus taught in another sermon that our reward by trying to impress God would be limited to the praise of the human beings around us. We will look good in their eyes, but not have any standing in God's eyes. Yeah, he did say that. Go back to Matthew 6. Listen to what Jesus says. When you pray, because he knows that as children of God, we're going to do that. Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything,
will reward you.
And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. It's kind of like yelling at God. It's like, you don't have to yell, and you don't have to repeat yourself 1,000 times. I heard you the first time, right? Don't be like them, Jesus says. For your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. That's Jesus, straight out of Jesus' mouth. God already knows. So you really don't have to do the play-by-play performance because he was there. Now, if it helps you, like, don't get me wrong, to rehearse the story and say, like, God, I just don't understand what happened. I went in to do this and then that happened. That's okay. But to do the prayer of the Pharisee, I'm so good. I'm not like the rest of these people. And they're so fortunate to have me as their friend. Because you, God, you're great in my spirit. Like, for real? It was like, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. So Jesus pointed out, if you stand and call out your pious prayer, people will notice, and then you may end up impressing them. But that's all the reward you're going to receive. The praise of people. And we already know, RJ, people are fickle, right? They clown us all the time. Oh, yeah. And then by the end of the week, they'd be like, ooh, girl, no, I don't know about nah. That was yesterday's news, right? They're fickle. So he says, if that's what you want, that's your reward. But if you want to be rewarded by God the Father, the Almighty, you need to humble yourself. So that's why we see the example of the tax collector, the penitent one. That's the one who God takes pleasure in, and he loves to hear those prayers. So Jesus gives us the example of the tax collector. Also, again, specifically using the tax collector, because he already knows. He knows that tax collectors back then were considered traitors because they were actually Jewish people working on behalf of the Roman Empire. Why in the world are you being a traitor to your own people? So Jewish people are like, ugh, what a horrible job to take. Oppressing your own people, cheating them. So Jesus specifically uses that tax collector and says, oh, this person who you don't care about, who you marginalize, that's the one that God cares about. That's the one that God listens to. He wants to hear the penitent prayer, the one asking for forgiveness, the one acknowledging what's happening in your life and how you want God to step in and intervene. So now let's go back to verses 13 and 14. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, that sinner, not the Pharisee, return home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector exhibits humility and asks for God's mercy. He knows he is a sinner. He knows that he's not perfect. And he knows that God knows that he's a sinner and that God can change his life. So the tax collector not only shows us how to be humble and penitent, he also shows us how to keep it real with God. You don't need to put on airs because God already knows. God welcomes us with open arms when we come to him earnest, admitting our faults and seeking forgiveness. That's when he can change us from the inside out. Amen? Sister Debbie, you had it on our slide earlier that prayer changes me. It said things, but then it crossed out the things and said me. Exactly. Prayer changes us. It allows God to step into our lives. I know y'all, everyone's looking up at the PowerPoint like, what? That's not our. they can see your closing remarks, but that's for this afternoon. She's getting ready for this afternoon. So ignore the screen. Listen to the sound of my voice. Listen to the sound of my voice. You know, there we go. Thank you. So you see that? Prayer changes me. We think that God's going to change Sister Colleen because she's in the wrong, and Lord, you need to get her. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get you first, is what Jesus says. I'm going to get you first, okay? Because we need to be godly. We need to be sisterly. You need to act like you actually know me, right? That's what the holy self-righteous people do. It's not my problem. It's their problem. It's those people. It's us. Jesus needs to get our hearts right. And then he can use us for the people around us. He changes us from the inside out. So let's close with a review of our lessons. We learned today how to properly approach God's throne when we pray. We discussed the three P's, right? The postures for prayer, two of which will actually move God to action on our behalf, and the one that will keep God distant from us. So the first P, persistence, shows up as our commitment to God and to his will. We don't give up easily. Just because he hasn't answered instantly, he is still at work. Even when things are not going our way and we can't see a way, he's still at work. We don't flip-flop when it comes to God's word and his way. We remain faithful to God, persistent. And then there's the P, the pious. This position is for the great pretenders. You know, they show up to all the church functions and all the things, but really, it's all about them. It's really not about their relationship with God. And so they're righteous in their own eyes. It's not going to get you far with God. But this last one will, the penitent heart. This position will draw us nearer to God, and he will hear us. He'll be faithful to forgive and move on our behalf. Why? For his glory. As he wants all of us to know who he is. God answers when we pray his will to seek justice, when we're seeking wisdom, when we admit our sin and our shortcomings. He is faithful to forgive. Join me in a word of prayer. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just being so good to us. You are faithful, and you show us in your word time after time. And so we thank you for this text today that shows us about the different postures of prayer. Help us, Lord God, to be persistent. Not because we don't trust you, not because we need to micromanage you, but because our faith lies only in you. Who, God, will do the thing if it's not you? You have all power in your hand. You have saved us for a reason, for a purpose. You've created us in your very image, and for that we say, thank you. Help us, Lord God, to be penitent. Admit that we're not perfect. Not rely on that and use it as an excuse, but to actually acknowledge when we've fallen short, knowing that you are faithful to forgive us. You are faithful to empower us to do better. You empower us even despite our sin, our flaws, our imperfections, to actually shine our light, to be the salt you have created us to be. Thank you, God, for using us despite ourselves. We thank you now to be in us this very week when we grow tired, when we're weary, when we just are just done. May your Holy Spirit remind us that you are with us, that you are for us, because others need to know who you are. Thank you, God, for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's close with the song and then our benediction. Praise Jesus.
So we're going to stand and we're going to close with Family of God.
Praise God. We have this family. Yes.
So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For a part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. To be a part of the family of God. Blessings again. Thank you for those who have joined us for our special day today. We have friends from other churches of God here. And my sister Renee is here. My daughter Sydney is here. So praise the Lord for each and every one. Part of the family of God. Amen. So let us go from this place remembering who we are. Sons and daughters, the children of the Most High King, God Himself. Be reminded that He is with you to guide you, to protect you, to give you love that you can share with others. So thank you, God, for this day. As we go from this place, remind us we belong to you. And you have saved us not so just we can be saved, but so that we can motivate others to become saved as well. And we thank you, God, for that ministry. We bless your holy name. We ask that you guide us, keep us, protect us until we meet again, all for your glory. Amen. Go, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, until we meet again.